the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. We are in the book of Ezekiel tonight. Praise God. Hallelujah. And we're going into the 37th chapter of the book of Ezekiel, trusting that God would help us to have an understanding here. Amen. The ways of the Lord are wonderful.
Amen.
Praise God. I just love to look into this book and see all that God has in there. Oh, to think that He would put His plan and His power and the manifestation of His will on a printed page and then tell us and promise us that He'd preserve it till the very end. It's a wonderful thing, isn't it? I believe that's what we have before us. It's the Word of God, preserved by His hand. Amen. In Ezekiel chapter 37, we're going to read about something that happened to Ezekiel the prophet. The hand of the Lord was upon him, as it says. We'll start right in there with verse 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones. That's quite a thing to have happen, isn't it? Nevertheless, it was the hand of God. Hand of the Lord was upon him. That's a wonderful thing, to have the hand of the Lord upon you. To have the Almighty God of heaven reach down and touch you with His hand. Amen. And caused me to pass by them round about. So he had a little guided tour here of this boneyard. Nothing looks more final. Nothing looks more dead. Nothing looks more helpless. Nothing looks more fatal. Nothing looks more impossible and useless than a boneyard. You look at bones and they're dry and there's no life in them. It's just mineral deposits in the shape of something that was once alive. You see, just nothing of life there at all. That dead. You can't get any more dead than to have a skeleton and then to have it very dry and then to have the bones scattered besides. Now watch what happens. And he caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. Did you ever see these pictures in a desert? They always show an old the steer's head or a cow's head or something there, and kind of broken up a little bit, and there's the horns, and it's just, you've seen that, haven't you? They use that on maps. If you ever look at a map, sometimes they'll use that to show this is a desert, nothing lives here. As a sign of death, all right? Very dry. I was working at the university in the science building one time. I don't remember just when this was now. But I was supposed to work on this lock, and I opened the door. And inside of there, they had a skeleton hanging there on a hook, kind of like a little frame thing. And there was this hook, and this skeleton was hanging there. And then there were a couple of skulls laying there. And I thought that maybe they were plastic until I looked closer. Hey, these were real people at one time. This isn't just a model. These people were alive. And you could see their teeth and the sockets, you know, and the hole where the nose used to be. And these were real human skulls and a real human skeleton. That thing was walking around talking, breathing, and eating at one time. And it was an adult skeleton. And there it was hanging there looking at me. I thought, oh, that thing, there's no doubt about it, it's not alive. It was dry. It was very dry. So I can kind of understand what Ezekiel was seeing here. Have you ever seen a real skeleton firsthand? Oh, you don't want to. Okay. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? Now God's asking that question. Can these bones live? Now, with God, all things are possible. Amen. With God, anything can happen. By man's standards, there's no way. It's not thinkable. There's no question about it. It's impossible. But God asked the question, can these bones live? And I answered, oh, he gives a beautiful answer. O Lord God, Thou knowest. Amen. God knows. Thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. He's commanded now. You talk about a dead congregation. I've been in some that were close to this. I really have. I came out of the Lutheran system and so forth. There's not much life there. You know why? The Holy Ghost doesn't move there among all that kind of stuff that's going on. That's why. But anyway, here is a field full of these dry bones, and yet God tells the prophet to speak to the dry bones. O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Something that's that far gone is yet going to live. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise. Something was happening. A noise! Oh, I like those spiritual noises. Remember, Elijah even heard the sound of abundance of rain, didn't he? Praise God. Sometimes the earth would shake. You know, Paul and Silas, when they were in that jail cell at midnight, they praised the Lord. They were in a pretty adverse situation, weren't they? They were no doubt in pain because they had been beaten and they were in prison. And there was no easy way out of that mess. But they praised the Lord. And at midnight, the Lord shook that whole place. He shook it. Because they weren't really the prisoners. Amen. There was a shaking. Sometimes God will really shake things up. He'll shake things up in your life. He'll shake things up in you and in me. But if it's God doing the shaking, it's worth it. It's always worth it. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise. And behold, a shaking. And the bones came together, bone to his bone. Click, click, clack, click, 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 clack, click, click, clack, huh? Now these bones are starting to move around, and they're coming together. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Now, he's watching, and on these skeletons now flesh begins to come up, muscles and flesh. Skin forms over the top of the muscles. This must have been quite a sight. Now they weren't bones anymore. They weren't even skeletons anymore. They were real people. And they were laying there. And they were still dead. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man. And say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath. And breathe upon these slain that they may live. Now understand something here. There is no wind of air from this atmosphere and from this troposphere that can bring life into a body. But the Bible says when God formed man out of the dust of the ground, he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. That's how we got here. God breathed into us the breath of life. Amen. That's how we were made alive. Now, watch where I'm going with this. We have to get into the New Testament shortly. So, there is to be breath that would come in and make these alive. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones... Now he's going to identify them. Watch this. These bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Notice something. What we have left today of true Christianity is thought of the same way. It's dead, they say. There isn't. It's all... Christianity is just all phony. See? People don't take it seriously. But I'll tell you, God still has a people. And they're not dead. They're alive, as we'll see in just a minute. But that's what they're saying. Notice that. They say... That's their claim. They say... Our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Therefore, prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves, and cause you to come up out of your graves, and bring you into the land of Israel. Now let's look at this in the spiritual sense. The whole house of Israel is all the church of the living God. It's not particularly descendants of Abraham after the flesh, but rather after the Spirit. The whole house of Israel is the Israel of God, called by the name of Jesus Christ. The whole church. I'm going to prove that in a minute. So that means you and I. Well, what does this have to do with me? You mean I was dead? Do you mean I was just as the dry bones were? Let me tell you, you were in far worse shape than you ever thought you were. And so was I. We were in an impossible situation. There was no life in us at all. These bones are the whole house of Israel. That's you and I and anyone else who names the name of Christ in truth, has repented of their sins, been baptized in Jesus' name, and are filled with the Holy Ghost. Praise God! The whole house of Israel! You'll notice these bones didn't make a personal decision for Christ. Did they? They were prophesied to. They were called together. It didn't happen of their own volition. They didn't choose the Lord. The Lord chose them. They were helpless. They were out there dry, very dry, separated even. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves. And shall put my Spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Oh, I'm glad we're in the kingdom tonight. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. The word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, Moreover, thou son of man, take thee one stick and write upon it for Judah and for the children of Israel his companions. Then take another stick and write upon it for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, for all the house of Israel his companions, and join them one to another into one stick, and they shall become one in thine hand. See, just as God was gathering together a remnant for his people, so the door was opening to all the Gentiles, all of which were dead. Israel was dead in sin, but was brought forth by the call and the breath of God. And God raised Israel up. Now, in the natural sense, he brought them back to their land. That's true. But the fulfillment of this prophecy is for the whole house of Israel. The whole house of Israel. So keep that in mind. We're coming to some New Testament scriptures in a minute. And when the children of thy people shall speak unto thee, saying, Wilt thou not show us what thou meanest by these? Say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim, and the tribes of Israel his fellows, and will put them with him, even with the stick of Judah, and make them one stick, and they shall be one in mine hand. In God's hand, there's only one people. One people. Just one people. God's people. Called by the name of Jesus Christ, filled with His Spirit. And the sticks whereon thou writest shall be in thine hand before their eyes. And say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen, whither they be gone, and will gather them on every side and bring them into their own land. See, this was the calling together of the people unto Jesus Christ. You know why God brought Israel back out of Babylon? You know why He stretched forth His hand the second time to recover the remnant of His people? That was the hand of God. That was Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was God's hand stretched forth the second time to recover the remnant of His people. That was the recovery. Jesus Christ. Amen. The people were gathered unto Him. Oh, I love that verse. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. It's unto Jesus Christ, not unto a piece of real estate. They were called back to that original land because Jesus Christ would meet them there. They were called to Jesus Christ. The land isn't holy. God is holy. Where God is, it's holy. But there's a heavenly Jerusalem now. We're made to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The Holy Land is not on earth. It's in the presence of God. It's on Mount Zion. And an innumerable company of angels. And all the church of the firstborn. Amen. And I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel. And one king shall be king to them all. Who's the king? Jesus, the Son of David, and also the Almighty God. And they shall be no more two nations, neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms any more at all. There are no divisions in the kingdom of God. It's all one. Neither shall they defile themselves any more with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions, but I will save them out of all their dwelling places wherein they have sinned, and will cleanse them. So shall they be my people, and I will be their God. God is saying, this is the way, I'm going to do this, He said. I will do it! This isn't even conditional. God is declaring what He will do. See, it wasn't anything of them at all. They were dry bones. That's all they were. There was no power, no ability. Do you realize how lifeless a dry bone is? Or any bone for that matter. But the dryness just shows you. Not only were they dead, but they had been dead for a long time. And David my servant shall be king over them. Now David was long dead. Yet it says, David, my servant, shall be king over them. That's talking about Jesus Christ. Do you know how I know that? Because the Bible tells us that of His kingdom there shall be no end. That once He would gather His people together, He would be the king and there'd never be another. There is no king in this world. We have worldly leaders, but there is no king other than Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Even the devil is called the prince of darkness, but he's not a king. There's no king but Jesus Christ. Amen. He is it. None else, none other. Let's verify that. Hallelujah. Let's look at Isaiah for a moment. Praise God. Isaiah chapter 9. Verses 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. That little son that's born, that little boy, is called the Everlasting Father? Doesn't sound like they're two different ones to me. Huh? Incidentally, that's the very verse that convinced me that God is one. I had a threeism pounded into me in the Lutheran church since I was little. And I ran across this and I said, there was that little baby boy who would be called the Everlasting Father. The son that is given is called the Father. All right? The Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of who? David. And upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, how long? Even forever. And how would this happen? The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Now we all know that as people, we can do things. But when we do things with a zeal, it shows, doesn't it? Now God is able to do anything. But when God is moved with a zeal to do something, it's a marvelous thing. Amen. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. That's how it would be. There can never be another king. The kingdom of David is the kingdom of Jesus Christ. It's not some other kingdom we're supposed to honor. It's Jesus Christ. Now back to Ezekiel 37. Praise God. Verse 24 says, "And David my servant shall be king over them, and they all shall have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them. And they shall dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob my servant, wherein your fathers have dwelt. And they shall dwell therein, even they and their children, and their children's children, how long? Forever. And my servant David shall be their prince forever. Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them." Did Jesus bring forth a new covenant? He's the Prince of Peace, isn't he? "It shall be an everlasting covenant with them. And I will place them and multiply them and will set my sanctuary in the midst of them forever." You see that? His sanctuary would be in the midst of his people. Jesus said, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." Jesus said, "Wherever two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." His sanctuary. "Ye are the temple of the Holy Ghost." God said, notice, he wasn't going to put his people in a sanctuary. He was going to put his sanctuary in the people. You see the difference? Every place we would go, we would be in the sanctuary of God because it's in us. Not only that, he said, "My tabernacle also shall be with them. Yea, I will be their God, and they shall be my people." Tabernacle means the dwelling place of God. "And the heathen shall know that I, the Lord, do sanctify Israel, when my sanctuary shall be in the midst of them forevermore." See, that's what happened at Pentecost. The sanctuary of God came to be in His people. The tabernacle came to dwell with them. The tabernacle of God is with men, it says in Revelation. The tabernacle of God is with men. The dwelling place of God is with men. Isn't that wonderful? So we were dry bones. And oh, were we dried up. We had no hope at all. You and I were total wrecks. Amen. There's no remedy for it other than the call of God. Whoa. That's how helpless you were. That's how helpless I was. Let's look at something in the New Testament. Let's go to John 5. Praise God. John 5. Verse 23, that all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. You have to honor Jesus Christ. The Bible says in 1 John, he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Amen. Verse 24 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, just like those dry bones, remember? Those dry bones hear the word of the Lord? We know they did because they came together. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming. Watch this. And now is. He brought it right into the present. When Jesus was standing there, he was doing something. He was making people alive with his preaching. That's why they gathered together unto him. That's why the multitudes gathered. He was calling them to life. He was bringing them forth from the dead. We think of Jesus, some people say, well, Jesus raised several people from the dead. He raised Lazarus. He raised the daughter of Jairus and the widow's son at Nain. He raised those. And those are the ones we think of all the time. But he raised many, 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 many more than that. Not from physical death, but spiritual. Watch this. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Now that resurrection being talked about is not the general resurrection at the end of the world. Verse 28 is. He says, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. But the first resurrection he's talking about here is those that hear his voice and live. That's what Jesus was doing. He did it in his life. He did it in his death. He did it in his resurrection. And he's still doing it through the power of the Holy Ghost and the preaching of the gospel, because the word of God is still preached, and the dead, the dry bones, the dead people everywhere, those that are able to hear that God's calling to will come back to life. He's still calling people to life. It's never quit. Prophesy to those dry bones. Oh, but they're so lifeless. They don't seem to hear anything. They're so dead, they don't care. They're oblivious. They just want to sin, 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 sin all the time. Prophesy to those dry bones. Amen. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Amen. Preach to those dry bones. Prophesy to those dry bones. That the dead might be called forth unto life. Remember how Jesus said, he that believeth in me, the things that I do shall he do also, and greater things than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And I give unto thee the keys to the kingdom of heaven. When Peter preached, there were 3,000 sets of dry bones on the day of Pentecost that were called to life. That's what it tells us. Gives us the number. 5,000 after that. And the Lord added daily such as should be saved. What was going on? What was Paul doing as he went out to the Gentiles? He was on a mission through a boneyard. What were the other apostles doing? They're all on missions through a boneyard. What are you doing as you live in this world? You're living in a boneyard. They're dead out there. Dead while they live. Wanton and pleasure and living lust-filled lives. And God's called us to interrupt that. To interrupt it with the prophesying of His Word. Amen. Listen to that verse again. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. It's the Holy Ghost in you that does the work. It's the preaching that comes through your vocal cords, but it's God. God provides the ability. God gives you that push in the Spirit, like a fire shut up in your bones. God gives you the words to speak, but it's still God's Word. Amen. It's God calling. Let's look at something here in Ephesians chapter 2. I think this will make it very clear for you. Aren't you thankful the Lord took that set of bones that you were and made you alive again? Glory to God. Ephesians chapter 2, now listen to this. This makes it very, very clear. And you hath He quickened. What does it mean to make quicken? Or to quicken, rather. To make alive. Who were dead in trespasses and sins. See, sin is death. You'll notice the Scripture tells us over in Romans chapter 6, in the last verse of that chapter, the wages of sin is death. It doesn't say the wages of sin lead to death, or the wages of sin become death. The wages of sin is death. The Bible says when you live in sin, death is working in you. There's a process of death going on in your soul. That's why the Lord came to take the sin out and quicken us. And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world. Oh, praise God, He put us on a different course. According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Is that not true? Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. That was our condition. Anybody want to deny it? We know better, don't we? That's a perfect description of every one of us. Verse 3. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us. Even when we were dead in sins. You were what in sins? You were dead. I was dead. And very dry. Hath quickened us together with Christ. See, His resurrection made it possible for us to have a resurrection. By grace ye are saved. See how He adds that in there? In other words, don't you forget it. Amen. As dry bones, you weren't in any condition to make any kind of decision, much less a decision for Christ. Amen. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's life. Oh, that's living. I said, that's living. Glory to God. Amen. That in the ages to come. See, we're talking about the end of the world, but there's ages to come. What are people going to do with these ages to come? Huh? God's preparing us for ages to come. And they're going to be better than anything we had here. This is a proving ground. This is the only hell we'll ever know. Right here. Think of it. This is the worst it gets. After this is over, it's all good. Amen. A lot of people can't say that. But we can. That in the ages to come, He might show us the exceeding riches of His grace. Oh, what that must be like. Huh? You know what we're going to see on the other side? The riches of His grace. Riches of His grace. You know, remember what grace is? See, mercy is when God withholds from us what we've got coming. Grace is when He gives us what we don't have coming. Heaven is going to be filled with great and wonderful things that we don't have coming, but are going to get anyway. That's what He's going to... You wonder why it's going to take an eternity? Those are the riches of His grace. You might say, well, I don't know if I could handle it. I think I'd explode. That's why you won't have this body. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. You couldn't handle what God's got for you with this flesh. We can hardly handle many blessings now. Amen. That in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Heaven is going to be an eternity full of God showing kindness to His people. Now, I can't imagine that, can you? What's all in store? It's one kindness after another. Hey, I'm ready to go now. Get out of here. Amen. Praise God. All in due time. The Lord said, occupy till I come. I see so many sour faces in a day that, you know, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? It's the way of the world. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. You were just dry bones, wasn't you? It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. No man can boast. The Lord made sure of that. There wasn't one bone in the yard that could boast. All it was a dry bone, and very dry at that, and couldn't even find its partners. You know, the hip bone connected to the thigh bone and all that stuff, huh? And your tibia and your mandible and your sternum and all these other fancy names for these bones. But God knew where they belonged. For we are, watch this, His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. God has ordained us to not sin, but walk in good works. That's God's ordination, to walk in good works. Wherefore, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. In other words, those that call themselves the circumcision, meaning the Jewish people, call you the uncircumcision. So there was a dichotomy there. There was a line of demarcation drawn between the two. That at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. I'm telling you, this is the condition of many people tonight. No hope and without God in the world. Look at the millions and millions of people walking around out there without God, and they're trusting in uncertain riches, and they're striving and fighting and trying to get. Some are robbing and stealing openly with weapons, and some are doing it by swindling. And people are just trying to get everything they can out of this life. You know the situation. It's a a frothing sea of humanity, a chaotic sea, struggling and fighting and lusting and grabbing and... That's right. Having no hope and without God in the world. Now that is a terrible situation to be in. But now, listen to this, but now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh. What made us nigh? What brought us in? By the blood of Christ. That's what did it. We're made nigh. We get close to God because of the blood. Amen. When you're praying and you're calling upon the Lord, bring up the blood. Amen. Make that part of your prayer. Have blood on every prayer, the blood of Jesus Christ. It brings you close to God. It brings you into the presence of God. Even the priest went in the presence of God, the holiest of all, not without blood. Amen. Even Jesus Christ, who went into the heavenly sanctuary, brought with Him His own blood. And He gave us the privilege of coming into His presence, not without blood. I said, we can go to the presence of God, not without blood, but with the blood of Jesus Christ. Because we have a high priest that is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He calls us unto His throne of grace. Amen. We're made nigh by the blood of Christ. For He is our peace, who hath made both one. Both what? Jews and Gentiles. All people. Those are the two categories. The Jews and the Gentiles. He made both one? Well then, why should the Gentiles run around saying the Jews are the chosen people? If He made both one? You talk about a deception from the devil. You talk about a mystery of iniquity that doth already work. It's working. Hath made both one and hath... What did He do now? Hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. See, the heavenly sanctuary is different. There's no wall of partition. In the earthly one, they had a wall of partition. The Gentiles could only approach so far and they had to stop there. But in the heavenly sanctuary, there's no wall of partition. Amen. Having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in Himself of twain one new man, so making peace. And that He might reconcile both unto God in one... How many bodies? One body, by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. There it is. One body. Just like it tells us over there in Ephesians 4:4. One body. One Spirit. It goes on to say, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. One, 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 all the way through one. Praise God. And came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to them that were nigh. For through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. It's by the Holy Ghost. That's why we need to pray in the Spirit. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Think of it. It's not like it was. It's like it is. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. That's why I take heed to what the apostles said. That's why I believe all things written in the law and prophets. That's our foundation, the apostles and the prophets. Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. He's our cornerstone. He's our Lord. You know, when the Masons lay a cornerstone for a new library or hospital or something, they'll put on that cornerstone AL and then the year after it. You know what they say that AL means? They freely admit it. I've got a document that proves it. I've got an article from a ripping newspaper that proves it. AL means Anno Lucis, the year of Lucifer. They say the year of light. And the Bible says the stone that the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. Those builders have rejected Jesus Christ. They've chosen Lucis, as they call him. Lucifer. Satan. How foolish. How ignorant. I said that's foolish and ignorant. Huh? They've gone the wrong way. Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. The Bible says, ye are the temple of the living God. Ye are the temple of the Holy Ghost. That you are lively stones. You're alive, but you're stones. Built upon that chief cornerstone. All a part of the temple. A stone in the temple. I like the permanency of that. Praise God. Last verse. In whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Why did God put you where you are? Why did He make you a part of His kingdom and a part of His temple? Because it pleased Him to dwell in you. Don't try to figure that out. Just rejoice in it. Why God would be pleased to dwell in you. In spite of all of your the battles of your mind and all the things that go on, you know yourself very well, and sometimes you don't like yourself, and sometimes it's hard to even look in the mirror. But God chose to dwell in you. The greatness of His grace. Amen. It wasn't anything good you did. You were dry bones, so was I. There's other dry bones out there. Amen. I hope they'll hear the word of the Lord before it's too late. Praise God. Maybe you've got relatives, friends that are dry bones right now. Oh, ye dry bones. Huh? Sometimes we just like to take these bones and try to put them together ourselves, don't we? Here, this has got to fit like this. Click. And you only get so far, even if you could find all the pieces. You can't make them alive. Only God can. So you can't try to put it together yourself. He didn't tell Ezekiel to go ahead and assemble the skeletons. Speak to him. Prophesy. Lift up your voice in the name of the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord! Amen. God spoke through him. God will speak through us. Don't try to do it yourself, but open your entire being up to be filled with His Spirit and then do His work. Praise God. You'll find that it will happen. Shall we stand together? We're going to go into prayer here. Hallelujah. I'd like to sing a chorus. First, I'd like to pray. Father in heaven, we thank Thee, Lord, that we could be here tonight to hear Thy word. We know that Thou hast made us alive in Thy grace and mercy. We have heard Thy word, Lord, and that through Thy word Thou hast called us forth from death, from being dry bones, O Lord. And I thank Thee, O God, that Thou hast taken us from this world system, that Thou hast set us forth as Thy children. But help us now to lift up our voices and declare Thy word. Lord, use us to Thy glory, O God, to the glory of Thy mighty and holy name. We need Thy strength. We need Thy help. Lord, use us now as we go into prayer. Help us to call upon Thee in truth and in spirit. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.